in Shiloh.
Good morning.
Pastor Armstrong. My co-laborers in the gospel ministry. The officers of this church. You, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I count it a privilege to stand before you. And I thank God for another opportunity to come this way. I don't want to take God's goodness for granted. He didn't have to wake me this morning, but he did. So glad he did. I know somebody said the alarm clock. The alarm clock woke them up this morning. That alarm clock went off in many homes. No one woke up. They had been thrown into an unknown judgment. We are here because of the mercies of God. And I thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
Always happy to come to Shiloh. Many memories here. I don't know if Reverend Polk is here, but I talked to him last night on the phone. Where is he? Why is he so far back? Preachers ought to sit up at the front. Might get called on to do something. We have known one another since the first grade. Back in Texas, that's right. Since the first grade. And his family moved away 90 miles north of a little town called Victoria. I was born in Corpus Christi. So his family. And now here we are. And they say you can always tell when you reach middle age. You always start talking about how many years you have left. We talk now about how many years of work we have left. I wish I could quit in the morning. I'm glad to see him. Talking to him last night about Reverend Woodson. Whenever I talk to Reverend Polk, we always talk about Reverend Woodson. I think I said this when I'm going to just preach for a few minutes. Reverend Woodson, I think I told this last time, David Poole, but I want to tell it again. Reverend Woodson was in the hospital over here. And I went out to church one Sunday to pray for him. You know, he was sick, and I didn't want to raise false hopes and all that. I just said, you know, oh Lord, give Reverend Woodson a reasonable portion of health and strength. And when I said amen, Reverend Woodson opened his eyes. He said, LaRue, what did you mean by a reasonable portion? I said, well, Dr. Woodson, I just, you know, no. He said, I tell you what you do. You come back here tomorrow morning and you pray for me again. And I went back the next morning. And I said, oh, Lord, let him ride up on wings of eagles. My God, I'm getting weary. That's the way Reverend Woodson was. He was very diplomatic. But if he didn't like something, he had a way of letting you know it in a very diplomatic way. You come back tomorrow morning. What do you mean, reasonable port of health? Say just a word about this pastor, and I'll preach this. You know, Reverend Armstrong has done a wonderful job at this church. Amen. And he has continued this tradition, Shiloh's tradition, of being active not only in the church, but in the community, in the state, in the nation, in the world. He's a trustee at Princeton Seminary, and we need his presence there, desperately need his presence there. So he has done and is doing a wonderful job. Amen. You know, I say all the time, you know, some people act like they don't like to promote other people, they feel they can take, but you know, and I've said this here before, it doesn't take anything away from you to push someone else. If I take this pulpit and push it to the front door, when the pulpit gets there, I'm there too. So it doesn't take anything away when you push somebody else. Now let me read this little text and preach. You know Crouch's through it all? A flat? Crouch, all right. Think about it. Push come to shove, I played myself. The reading of the scripture, Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 30. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. Did somebody say something? Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 30. Amen. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 30. All right. They that wait. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was contrary. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, said, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Do not be afraid. It is I." "Lord, if it's you," Peter said, "let me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." You may be seated. I want to deal with this text a different way this morning. I want to talk about the troubles that come to all of us from time to time. Troubles that come to all of us from time to time. I'm trying to get used to this pulpit. I'm used to a pulpit hiding your girth. I would have worn a pulpit gown had I known this. Troubles that come to all of us from time to time. I'm having some this morning. The scene depicted for us in Scripture is a midnight scene. It is the night following the day of the feeding of the 5,000. The crowds had been with Jesus all day. He ministered unto them. He taught them. He fed them. And then late in the evening, he sent the crowd away. Jesus instructed his disciples to get into a boat and head to the other side of the sea. The sea, lake, Colossa. Head to the other side. Jesus himself turned his steps toward the mountain slopes where he intended to go and spend the night in prayer to his Father. Think about that. Jesus spending the night in prayer to his Father. And we try to pray between commercials, because we don't want to miss anything on TV. And then we wonder why we have no power. Well, the disciples got into the boat and they headed to the other side of the lake. But they had not been long into their journey before a tempestuous storm arose. Now remember, they are out there at the behest of Jesus. But they encounter a storm. Some people think that when you obey Jesus, you ought not have any storms in your life. But that's when storms come. When you make up in your mind that you're going to live for Jesus, do the best you can to walk in the Master's footsteps. That's when storms come. Now, not in Matthew's gospel, but in Mark's gospel of this same scene, Mark says, Jesus saw them as they toiled. In other words, from the mountain slopes, Jesus had his eyes on them as they struggled to bring this boat under control. Oh, what comfort, what assurance there is in knowing that whereas we shall not be spared from storms, Jesus has his eyes on us when we are in our storm. Let me tell you something about a storm. It does not matter how strong you are. If you stay in a storm long enough, it will zap your strength. So he saw them, bit by bit, moment by moment, little by little. Jesus saw their strength fail them. He saw their fears overcome them. He saw them overwhelmed by trouble that comes into all our lives from time to time.
Yes, sir.
That brings me to my first trouble. The first trouble I want to talk about is real trouble. Don't let anybody fool you. There is in this life a thing called real trouble, and it finds all of us from time to time. After you have joked away all you can joke away, lightly dismiss all you can lightly dismiss, there remains a core in everybody's life where real trouble will settle from time to time. Do you hear me this morning? And I know friends and family mean well when they say to us, quit being so negative. Get your mind off of your trouble. Why don't you go to the mall and go shopping? You can go to that mall if you want to. But when you come out, you won't remember where you parked your car. Because real trouble has a way of gripping the whole of our existence. We used to sing a song in my home state of Texas. It said, I don't know why I have to cry sometimes. I don't know why I have to sigh sometimes. There would be a perfect day, but trouble gets in my way. I don't know why, but I'll know by and by. Real trouble will find all of us from time to time. If you have not experienced real trouble, keep on living. A few more years roll, and a few more seasons come, and you're going to know what real trouble is in your life. We face real trouble as we try to come to grips with the absurdities, the complexities, and the contradictions in our lives. The absurdities. When I say the absurdities, I mean the stuff that happens to all of us from time to time that just does not make sense. In fact, it makes such little sense that it seems downright foolish. So we call it the absurdities of life. Real trouble comes to all of us when we are trying to face the absurdities of life, the stuff that happens to us that just does not make sense. When you're facing the absurdities of life, sometimes you cannot even use good grammar. You find yourself saying, ain't no reason for this here stuff to be happening to me. It's called the absurdities of life. You see, we all have some things we want out of life. We all have some things to which we aspire. We all have some goals that we want to achieve. That's over here. What we want out of life is over here. But what we get out of life is over here. And that broad, empty space in the middle between what we wanted and what we got, that broad, empty space is called the absurdities of life. I told you about that man who was asleep and awoke only to discover that his wife was sitting up in the bed looking at him while he was asleep. And that man got up, and I don't blame him. And he said, honey, what are you doing looking at me while I'm asleep? She said, oh, I don't know. I was just sitting here thinking about what I wanted and what I got. And if you're not careful, it will keep you up at night too. It's called the absurdities of life. What we want out of life and what we get out of life. Sometimes we find ourselves so far away. Parents always want their children to have better lives. Pray, you send them to school, you try to raise them up in the church, you try to raise them to be decent and loving and kind. But the very one you don't want to see her with, that's the one she'll bring home. And the more you talk against them, the closer she gets to it. And you find yourself saying, Lord, why is my child so far away from what I wanted for her as opposed to what she's about to get out of life? It's called the absurdities of life. Real trouble when we come up against this stuff that happens to all of us from time to time that just does not make sense. Men have to grapple with it. Men have to grapple with the absurdities of life. You see, women have a very physical change in their lives. You understand? And they recognize when they go through this physical change that their lives are going to be different. But men don't have that physical change, but they have a change. You see, when a man is young, he thinks he's going to live always. Or you can tell when he walks in church, he got that little break in his walk and his coattail popping. I said, look at him, look at him. He thinks he's going to live always. But then when that man starts to get into his 50s and his 60s, in his 70s, he hears a clock ticking. And he recognizes that he will not live always. He hears his mortality clock ticking. And he recognizes that he has to die one day. And if men are not careful, when they try to come to grips with their mortality, they can face real trouble. And they'll look around and start trying to blame other people for why they did not accomplish all they had wanted to accomplish in life. Do you hear me this morning? You know, I would have done much better in my life if had not been for my wife and these old bad children. No, no. It's you trying to come to grips with the absurdities of life, the stuff that happens to all of us from time to time that just does not make sense. We face real trouble as we try to come to grips with the complexities of life. When I say complexities, I mean those things that we face that defy easy answers. There are people on radio and television. I was listening to one this morning handing out cotton candy theology and gospel light. There are people on radio and television who have gotten rich handing out easy answers to complex problems. But sometimes when we are facing complexities in life, there are things that befall all of us that defy easy answers. You want relief, but if you move too quickly, you'll hurt innocent people. You want relief, but if you move too quickly, you will say something for which you will be sorry. So sometimes the loads and the burdens we bear, sometimes we have to bear those burdens, not for a week, not for a month, but sometimes we have to bear them down through the years until God steps in and says, that's enough, my child. It's called the complexities of life, the stuff that defies easy answers in our lives. Sometimes we face real trouble as we try to come to grips with the contradictions in our lives. And when I say contradictions, I mean when my walk and my talk start to run into one another. When my walk makes a lie out of my talk. You see, my walk and my talk ought to be parallel. But when my walk starts to run into my talk, it becomes perpendicular. And that creates a problem. And we all have contradictions in our lives. Even that little old lady who woke up this morning with her mind stayed on Jesus. She has some stuff in her life that the Lord is not pleased with. We all have contradictions. And you know how we are. We say to God, oh God, if you get me out of this mess this time, I promise you, I won't come back here anymore. Just, Lord, please, just get me out this time and don't let the folks find out.
That's
right. Come on, you don't have to say it, man. I'm coming down your street, though. And just as soon as God gets us out, even when we walk away, sometimes we're too weak to stay away. I've heard people say, I don't know, there's some folks act like they don't like me. Well, that could be. There are some days when I don't like myself. Because of the contradictions in my own life. And they create for us real trouble. It's trouble that finds all of us from time to time. There is a second kind of trouble that took place out here that night on that restless lake. The first trouble is real trouble. It's really happening to us. But there's a second trouble. And that second trouble is imaginary trouble. imaginary trouble. The first one is really happening to you, but the second one is in your mind. When Jesus saw that they had been on that sea and in that storm long enough, he left his place in the mountains and he started to walk toward them. But he was so prayed up and he had so much power that when he left terra firma, that's land, and stepped into H2O, that water, he had so much power that he caught gravity by surprise. And instead of going down, Jesus just kept on walking. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And so he goes walking to them on the water. But they had had so much trouble out there that night that they didn't recognize Jesus when he was coming their way. Sometimes you can have so much trouble in your life that you don't even recognize help when it's coming your way. You can have so much trouble that you just start looking for trouble. When they saw Jesus coming in the fullness of his strength, you would have thought they would have been glad to see him. But they cried out for fear. It is a spirit. Don't let that version fool you. What they were really saying is, oh my God, here comes the ghost. Oh, the trouble we've had out here tonight. The last thing we need to see is a ghost. Hank, I'm telling you, Simon Peter was a cursing fisherman. And I think when Peter thought he saw a ghost, I think Peter said some words Matthew couldn't write down in his Bible. Oh, my God, here comes the ghost. Times you can have so much trouble, you just start looking for trouble in your life. You're no longer able to see help that's coming your way, sent by God to be your rescue. And so they just started looking. You know, whatever you look for hard enough, you will find it. Some people spend their days looking for slights and insults. They always think someone is trying to belittle them or put them down. They have an inferiority complex. Walk in Shiloh and say good morning to you, and you really didn't see him, and he'll be mad at you for 6 months. I guess I'm not big enough for him to say good morning to me in Shiloh, you know. Just looking for trouble. There was a man named Mr. Big, Pastor Armstrong. Mr. Big lived in a small town. He owned more land, he owned more livestock, he owned more everything, anybody in the town. A new man moved into town, a new man was seen going into the bank every morning. And Mr. Big just started thinking up all kinds of stuff. What are you going in that bank for? Getting more land, buying more cattle. And when Mr. Big could stand it no longer, he jumped in front of the man one day as the man headed into the bank. And Mr. Big walked up to the teller and said, I want to borrow $10,000 on my signature loan. Teller said, okay, here it is, Mr. Big. Mr. Big turned to the new man. He said, I have just borrowed $10,000 on my signature. What have you come in here for? And that new man said, I come in here for what I come in here for every morning, a drink of water. Imaginary trouble can run you into real trouble if you are not careful. Whatever you look for hard enough, you will find. Now, this trouble comes to all of us from time to time. One more and I shall take my seat. And that last trouble is satanic trouble. Real trouble, imaginary trouble, satanic trouble. When they recognized that it was Jesus, Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you, walking on the water. And Jesus, standing in the fullness of his strength, said, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat to go to Jesus. And I tell you, when he stepped out of that boat to go to Jesus, the devil, we personify him, the devil. This one, I was preaching this at Abyssinian one night, and they had visitors all up there from all parts of Europe and everywhere, and I didn't want to say devil, you know, and I said, this one who is opposed to God, this inferior being, this, and Calvin Booth said, go on and say devil, boy, that's what it is. So I said, the devil! Out of that boat to go to Jesus, the devil jumped on him. This one who is opposed to God, who brings his forces into our lives from time to time. Why do you say the devil? Because he is the one who creates doubt and causes us to fear. Even when we are standing in the presence and promises of Jesus, he causes us to fear and tells us that we can't make it and we won't be successful. So he jumps on him. Now, I do not have a theology of the devil, for I agree with the Protestant reformer Martin Luther when he said, recognize the devil for who he is and then get away from him as fast as you can. I've come to Shiloh to tell you today that the devil is real. This one who is opposed to God, that we continue to personify in black churches, this one is real. And he comes into all our lives from time to time. Wherever he shows up, he always causes trouble. You call him what you will or may. Call him by his biblical name, Daimonion. Call him by his theological name, an inferior demiurge. Call him a spirit of againstedness or a notion of negativity. Call him a principle of evil or a principle of evil operating within the confines of the universe. But he is real, and he comes into all of our lives to create trouble from time to time. Shows up in Scripture. In Genesis, he's a tempter. In Revelation, he's a deceiver. Job, he gave Job all kinds of trouble. And Jesus called him a ruler of the darkness of this world. Wherever he shows up, he always causes trouble. Jesus, who tried to say something good about everybody, said of the devil, he's a murderer and a liar. He's real. And when he comes into your life, he tries to make you think that what he's about to put on you is more than God can handle. He tries to make you believe that he's going to have the last word in your life. But I've come with a word for you to say when you're facing the devil. Hallelujah! God's going to have the last word. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Trouble don't last always.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
This too shall pass.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
God is still on the throne.
Yeah.
That's what I've come to tell you today. If you're facing trouble, I know somebody. His name is Jesus. He can settle every doubt, overcome every difficulty. He can bring peace that passes understanding into your life. If you are facing trouble, I want to recommend Jesus. He's a doctor who has never lost a case. He'll be your battle axe in a time of trouble, your shelter in a time of storm. His name is Jesus. And when this trouble comes into your life that comes to all of us from time to time, call on him. And he'll help you. I'm done.
Hallelujah!
Pastor said I can open the doors of the church. The doors of the church stand open. They were opened when God raised him from the dead on resurrection morning. Since you are here, why don't you come? I know someone who has promised to handle your troubles, bring you into the life that God has meant for you to have. Don't let the one who is opposed to God have the last word. Hallelujah. Song of the angels. A word of praise that God will have the last word. A flat. Yes, I get older, my voice is getting lower. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There were times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation.
Right.
Then my trials came only to make me strong. I've been to lots of places. I've seen lots of faces. There were times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. I thank God for my mountains. I thank up all my valleys. I thank God for all he's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve it. And I would not know what faith in God could do. Through it all, through it all, Lord, I learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all, through it all, Lord, I've learned to depend upon his word. God bless you this morning. Yes, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
We're just going to take another minute. Come on, choir. Keep singing. Through it all. If you don't have a church home, we just want to give you an opportunity to come forward. If you don't know the Lord for yourself, we want to give you an opportunity to step out and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Does anybody want to accept the Lord into their life today? Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Keep singing right there. Let the Holy Spirit have his way through it all. Anybody here today, you want special prayer to step in the aisles? One of the deacons, one of the clergy, one of the ministers, one of the deaconess will pray for you. But if you want to join the church today, we want to give you this extended invitation. Anyone here? Anyone here?